Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. Book of Isaiah, chapter 59. We'll kind of take a look at this, about the first 15 verses of this chapter. And I know we all get sleepy after lunchtime. So if you can stay awake, do your best. If you can't, I'm not going to holler at you. One old preacher I knew, he preached a lot of years, and he was about 95 when he died. And for years they would let him. They had a chair for him up front, a real comfortable chair. And he'd fly, as soon as he sat down, he'd go to sleep. And he said, I got one regret. He said, I preached against people sleeping in church when they fell asleep, but he said, it's some of the best sleep I've ever had. He said, I hate that I preached against it all those years, but of course he was trying to make a little humor there, so that was okay. But anyway, let's look here in Isaiah 59, and I want to read verse 14 and 15, kind of as our text verse, and then I'll go to a couple of other places, but you can just stay right there, and we'll look at Isaiah 59. Verse 14 says, now of course this is Isaiah writing here, and he's making a prophecy here, and prophesying to the nation of Israel. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and because of that, an equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. I want to preach for a little while today on that part of verse 14. I want to preach on truth that's fallen in the streets of America. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, I'm not going to turn there, but it basically tells us that the things of the Old Testament were written to us for our admonition, for our example. So as I preach today, I want to realize that things that are written in the Old Testament, though we're in the New Testament age, they're for our example and for our instruction. Now, we don't build church doctrine and, you know, certain doctrines from the Old Testament, but they're there for our instruction. The Psalms are there for our encouragement. And so we can look back and get something from this. Now, this chapter 59 of Isaiah, it describes the terrible condition of Judah and their rebellion against God. Now, Judah, remember this. Judah was the southern kingdom that came out of the civil war that Israel had. Israel got into a terrible civil war, and they finally divided their nation in the northern kingdom, which was called Samaria, and the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. So when you see the word Samaria or Judah in the Bible after the civil war, one's referring to the northern kingdom, one the southern kingdom, but they're both still Israel. And Judah had gotten in bad shape here, and they'd gotten such bad shape that the prophet told them, you know, truth has fallen in the street and judgment is turned away backward. As I go through this chapter, I would like us to think about, is this not taking the page out of the newspaper today talking about America? I think it'll be shocking to you as we go through here the similarities that we can see today in our nation, and that truth has fallen in the street. This chapter is an accurate description of our nation today. And I know people say, well, Brother Chad, there's been a lot of nations that got a lot worse shape than us, but that might be the case. I didn't live back in those days. But I will say this without apology and with great certainty, that no other nation that I know of, I just don't know of it, has had any more truth and any more access to the Word of God than America. And I believe that alone, and then you look at the condition we're in far worse shape than any other nation's ever been, because the Bible says that judgment is according to light. We have had such light in America, and to be in the shape that we're in, it ought to shock us. It ought to humble us. It ought to break our hearts to see how truth has fallen in the streets of America and it matters to people no more. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, I'll just kind of say what that talks about. It says, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. That means dangerous times. They'll hate those who do good, and they'll exalt those who do wrong. There'll be traitors and high-minded and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. That's how we can have what happened in Orlando, Florida, the terrorist attack on that sodomite bar, and everybody starts hollering, oh, it's time to pray. Our prayers are with their families. Why wasn't anybody praying about the condition of those people and what they were practicing there? I'm not condoning that attack. It was an attack against America. They would have done the same thing to Homestead Baptist Church if they could have got in here and done it. So I'm not condoning it. Don't misunderstand me. But America rushes to prayer when some tragedy happens, but she doesn't rush to prayer about the sin condition. I mean, whoever thought that our legislators would be wasting time when they ought to be securing the borders, building up our military, overhauling that god-awful budget, straightening out the Iran deal, but instead they're up there deciding whether state has a right to tell a boy to go to a boy's bathroom. I say that his birthday determined where he went to the bathroom. That's stupidity, folks. It's madness. It's truth that's falling in the street. I mean, our government is wasting their time even having to bring that stuff up when all these other things are going on. Luke 17:26-30 tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. I'm telling you all these things to just show us that we are in the last days. Now, the last days, I really believe, started at Pentecost, because it says that these are the last days spoken of by the prophet Joel, and when you see these things come to pass. But I believe we've got to be in the end of the last days, and I'll tell you why. Because the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that day, talking about the rapture, the coming of the Lord, would not take place till there be a great falling away first. Now, I tell you how I know we're in the great falling away. It's because people can look out across this land and you look how far and how hard it is to find a true church who's still preaching the truth. That right there shows me we're in the great falling away. See, to fall away from something, you had to be at it at one time. And that word falling away means apostatize or departure from truth. There's our word again. Truth is falling in the street. And even God's people are drifting from truth. We let the media, and I'm talking Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, the whole bunch are dishonest, they're crooked, and they don't tell the truth. They'll hop on one thing and run it in the ground, and somebody can be doing something over here that is terrible and bad and lying under oath, and nobody talks about it. Truth is fallen, folks. It's fallen. I'm talking truth about anything is fallen in the street. Excuse me. But there in Luke 17, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be in the coming the days of the Son of Man. They were marrying and giving in marriage. He said, as it was in the days of Lot, so it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. What was going on in the days of Lot? Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, not just for this, but because sodomy was running rampant. And far as I know, Sodom and Gomorrah didn't allow same-sex marriage. But good old Christian USA's pastor. See, the Supreme Court stepped out of their bounds when they did that. Because marriage is not a constitutional right. It's a state thing. And bad as I hate to say it, I believe if a state voted to have same-sex marriage, if we're going to have a free government, you would have to go along with that, but it should have been up to the states. And even liberal states like California, Washington, and New York, when it was brought to the people, they voted against it. But then Supreme Court, 5 justices decided what the majority of 315 million citizens didn't want to go for. Truth is falling in the street, folks. Our Congress should have reeled them in. See, the three equal branches of government, the president, the administrative, I believe is what people call that branch, and then we've got the congressional branch and the judicial branch. They were to balance each other out because our founding fathers, when they came, they knew what it was like to be under a dictator and a tyrant, and they were brilliant men. Not all of them were saved. We didn't have a Christian government, but we had a government influenced by Christianity. We didn't have a government that said, if you're not a Christian, we're going to cut your head off. You know, but it was influenced. Our laws, you can look, they're influenced from the Bible, but not now. It's everything's out of balance. We've got a president making executive orders. We've got a Supreme Court overriding the people, and they're not even elected officials. They're appointed. They're not representing us, and they're not up there to make laws. They're there to interpret laws. The Congress is there to make the laws because they represent. See, that's the whole beauty of the representation type of government. You got people coming from conservative areas, liberal areas, high black population areas, high white population. I mean, everybody supposedly, quote unquote, is getting representation, but I don't think it is. And I've took too long on the introduction. Let's go to verse 1 of Isaiah 52 or 59. This chapter, like I said, just keep in mind, I'm making application here. I know this was written to Judah. But the New Testament says these things are for our admonition, our learning. And we can see, and I believe you'd have to agree, this is so much a picture of America today. Verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But here's the problem, folks. But your iniquities. Now, let me just stop right here. Remember now, he's not writing this necessarily to individuals. He's talking about the nation as a whole. Everybody in Judah hadn't gotten in this shape. Everybody in America, that's another thing. The media will make you think that everybody you run into is gay. You know what I'm saying? They portray like it's a great number. Out of 315 million people, there's about a million openly gay people and about 700,000 is transgender. I hope I don't ever run into a chick transgender, but the media almost make you think that everybody up down the street, half of them. I mean, it's just bizarre. But anyway, back to the Bible here. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. See, sin separates us from God. And your sins, he's talking about nationally, the nation. See, I'm not saying everybody's in this boat in America, but nationally as a whole, America is shot. We're immoral, we're ungodly, and we've let truth fall in the street, and most people see no value of truth anymore. It says, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. God will not hear America cry. God doesn't. I mean, I know God hears them, but he doesn't hear them in the sense that he's involved with it in blessing. God's not going to hear prayers for the sodomite bar. He wants to hear America repent for the openness of sin. God wants to hear us repent. He doesn't hear a lot of this stuff that goes on. He calls it vain obligations and vain sacrifices. They offered things in vain. He says, for your hands as a nation. And when I just threw that in, as a nation now, I'm going to keep stressing that. Your hands are defiled in verse 3 with blood. Your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Oh, does that not talk about the average person today even? They don't tell the truth. Our government doesn't tell us the truth. I'm afraid the FBI won't tell us the truth. The media won't tell us the truth. And most preachers don't tell the truth anymore. It doesn't build a big church. It doesn't build a big congregation. It doesn't build a big offering to tell the truth. Political correctness is going to get a bunch of people killed in America. I don't want a politically correct government, I don't want a politically correct preacher. I hate political correctness. It ought to be on the radar of every preacher, and they ought to shoot it every time they see the head sticks up. That doesn't mean you got to be hateful and mean, but it just means tell the truth. That's what our politicians, they answer questions in a way that they don't obligate to either side, and then both sides will put them back in. God, help us from that. For your hands are defiled with blood. I think about in America how abortion, the blood of millions of unborn children, is on the hands of America today. I think about all the fighting and brawling in the streets. The police are being shot down like common criminals while they're in Dallas, Texas. They were protecting the rights of those. And I'm for, even though, I'm going to tell you, I'm for peaceful protest. That's good. I mean, that's freedom of speech. Either, you know, if I don't like what somebody's saying, you know how I protest it? I don't go. I wouldn't waste my time at Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders rallies outside protesting. I've got too much else to do. The way I protest against Hillary is I don't vote for her and I don't go to her speeches. That's the way I do it. But they have a right to do that. And those men were gunned down in innocent blood. I'm going to tell you what, and our government fans these fires. If a white police officer kills a black man or a white man or a red man and it was not called for, he was in the wrong, prosecute him, send him to prison or whatever the jury and the judge say. Don't make it like it's some kind of big problem and fan it and grow it. Just deal with it case by case. If they do wrong, they ought to be punished just like any other citizen would. But not in our day. Those six Baltimore policemen that they tore the whole town up last year, the last one got acquitted this week. All six of them. And I'm going to tell you, nobody can say there was favoritism because, buddy, from the White House to the church, I mean, from the White House to the local court system, they wanted their blood. Brother Stephen, we'd all have to agree if it was anything there, they were going after them. They were already guilty. It's a miracle of God they didn't get convicted unjustly. I haven't heard anybody stand up and say, you know what, I apologize for all those businesses that were looted, all those buildings burned, all those cop cars turned over. Some of those policemen, I'll tell you what, yeah, there's bad cops, there's bad doctors, there's bad preachers, there's bad everything, but that doesn't mean they all are. But when those cops stand on that front line and those protesters and those people rioted are spitting in their face, I couldn't hold myself back. I'd either be dead or in jail. I would. But a man gets in my face and spits on me, and I'm trying to hold that crowd back. I don't know how they ought to allow stuff like that. But in America, truth is falling in the street, and they get uplifted and say all they need a chance to vent their frustrations. That's not right. I thought America used to be that you were innocent until proven guilty. And they had the trial, the jury, and the execution on those six police officers in about two nights in Baltimore. And it comes out they were acquitted. Verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief. And they bring forth iniquity. Now we're in a metaphor here in verse 5. This is not literal now. They hatch cockatrice eggs. The cockatrice is a snake, a viper, okay? And they weave the spider's web. He's saying as a nation, you hatch these poisonous snakes, these vipers that all they do is destroy. You come up with destructive lies. And then the media will put a slant on it in their narrative. And they'll get the unlearned, ignorant American public to just swallow what they say without any discernment. They weave a spider's web. You know, a spider's web is all weaved together. And you think about how on the news the stories all run together. This truth, this half lie, this whole truth. And it's all weaved together and it just is a mess. Verse 6, their webs that shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. And the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. That's what I was just talking about. Like I said, folks, I know this was not written directly to America, but in application, and it's for our admonition, the Old Testament, we can see, brothers and sisters, I mean, this is happening in our country today. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. See, they'll rather destroy somebody that they don't agree with than find out the truth. See, we ought to be, as a people of God, always seeking out after truth, whether it's biblical truth or just something in society. We ought to want truth because truth is the only way that can bring freedom. The Bible says, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Elsie, I remember as a kid, when I would lie to my mom and daddy, I would feel so guilty and miserable. And I knew if I told the truth, daddy would whip me. A lot of times, one guy said, this guy told the truth when he was a kid and his mother whipped him. And he said, I'll never do that again as long as I live. And far as we know, he never did. But there's something about when you come clean. I went to mom and daddy as a kid and said, look, I've been lying about this. Even knowing I'd probably get my rear end whipped, you just felt, oh, cleansed. The truth will do that. But see, America is so against truth today. Verse 8, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. See, they make themselves crooked paths, and other people follow their crooked ways. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doeth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. I'm not trying to give a political speech, but I think about a few years ago when the Republicans told us, and that's what I'm registered as, and I don't mind telling you that. I don't always vote that way, but they said, let us have control of the House and Senate, and we're going to slow this debt-ridden, out-of-control train down. They passed the budget, adding more deficit. See, I think most Americans, Democrat, Republican, Independent, would have to say we've lost confidence in our government. Government is ordained by God, folks. We rail on it a lot, but I'm glad government is God's. God has a structure, an order, and government is good if it's done right. But we've lost so much trust for it. Verse 10, we grope for the wall like the blind. Isn't that today in America? It's like they'll be going after something that don't matter and something real significant will be over here. Oh, this guy said this, yeah, but four people died in Benghazi and they cried for help and they died. Oh, yeah, but somebody did this over here. Oh, but they were under oath and they lied to Congress. Yeah, but somebody said something a little like the political correct police didn't like over here. And they're trying to always keep us off the issues, folks. We need to understand the issues. The issues are truth. If people are openly lying, openly twisting things, then they're not worth running for office. They're not worth doing any dealings with till they get right about it. We grope like blind men, just stumbling around. That's America. Can you see America? We're just stumbling around in the dark like a lost soul. We don't know what's going on. Verse 10, we roar all like bears. Another metaphor. And mourn sore like doves. That when he talks about roar like bears, the thought is of a bear cub in distress that's lost from his mother, and he's roaring, he's looking for his mother. America's just roaring in desperation. I mean, we're falling apart at the seams. And everybody's saying, what are we going to do? Who's going to be our deliverer? Who's going to help America? I tell you what, our true and only hope we know is Jesus Christ. But America, I want to know, does America really want the kind of help that she needs? Help sometimes is painful. You go to a doctor and say, Doc, I've been hurting right in here. It's killing me. Does an ultrasound. You've got a tumor in there. We're going to have to cut you. It's going to hurt, but we're going to get it out. See, America does not want to take the pain that it would take to straighten out our major problems in this country. And we want somebody to keep telling us, oh, everything's good, everything's great. And that is just vanity that he talked about here. We're living almost in a dream world, people are, thinking things are okay when they're not. The rest of verse 11 says, but there is none for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. I'm going to say something. You could not put the nation of America on trial today, and any jury that's honest would convict her of being Christian nation, because of all the ungodliness and all the wickedness and all the false things we allow and we endorse and our laws put into place now. They testify against us in the court of law. Truth has definitely fallen in the street. Verse 13. Let me finish verse 12. For our transgressions are with us, And as for our iniquities, we know them. We know our iniquities. They're before us. See, Jeremiah, God's prophet, was saying, Lord, we know our sin. See, Jeremiah was one of them who hadn't got in this group. And he said, Lord, I know our sin. God's preachers today, God's people, ought to be crying out and said, we know our nation has got so sinful as a whole. In transgressing, verse 13, and lying against the Lord. It's bad enough to lie, period, but to lie against the Lord, I believe that's saying lying against what God says. You're lying against Him. I heard Barack Obama say this, and like I said, if he said it openly, and I heard it out of his own mouth, on this transgender issue, and you know how his administration is leaning toward that, he said openly that he believed that Jesus Christ and the Bible backed up what he said about the transgender, about being loving to people and to be compassionate. See, he's lying against the Lord. I'm amazed how these people take the Bible and twist it around to good old Jimmy Carter. Bless his Southern Baptist heart. I heard him on the radio. He said about this gay marriage thing. He said, I know that Jesus, he said, Jesus didn't come directly out and say this, but I know that Jesus would want you to be with whom you loved. They're lying against the Lord. That's accepted in our day. Your mainstream denominations, and I didn't say churches, denominations. See, Baptist is not a denomination, but we know church truth. But most, the majority of them are going along with this stuff, and then there's some that are breaking off and splitting off from it. But I mean, everything is going the way of the world, the way of sin as a whole in America. Now, let me finish up right here. Verse 14, that was our text verse. He said in verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward. I want to look at that word judgment. Now, when I looked the word judgment up in the Strong's Concordance, one of the definitions was for that word was the word discretion. Okay, discretion. Then I looked it up in the Noah Webster Dictionary, 1828. Discretion means that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper. Then the word discernment there means the power or faculty of the mind by which it distinguishes one thing from another as truth or as vice. So judgment is our ability to determine right from wrong. Verse 14. And the ability to determine right from wrong is turned away backward. Is that America? Simple things that lost people used to stand against 50, 60 years ago are condoned by Christians so-called today. And justice standeth afar off. The word justice there means integrity in commerce and mutual intercourse with human beings, that which is right. And that which is right standeth afar off. It's standing back. Then it says, for truth is fallen in the street. When you think of the word truth there, you think that truth basically means not concealing or to uncover. Truth is the opposite of lies. Now, you think about lies. Who is the father of lies? Satan. He is the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning. Satan is the father of lies. But truth, see, Jesus said, and it said there that truth is fallen in the street. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he said in John chapter 17, he said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is what? Truth. So when we think about truth, if there was no Jesus Christ and there was no word of God, there really wouldn't be any truth, because the word would be our foundation to base what's true and not. So what that in essence is saying is that Jesus Christ and His word is falling in the street. People don't think much of that. And because we've turned our back as a nation on God's word as being truth, everything else that's truth is just falling like a domino effect right behind it. See, truth is fallen in the street, and it says the last part of that verse, and equity cannot enter. That word equity there means straightforwardness. plain speech, truth, integrity, or to be fair to other people. Now, that word straightforwardness, that right there, you think about that. Nobody hardly ever wants to hear straightforwardness anymore. We're so used to somebody asking a politician a question, they could just say, I'm going to give you a pretend example. I'll pretend I'm a politician for about 1 second. Representative Chad Johnson, do you think that this bridge out here, it's in your district, do you think that money ought to be spent on that bridge to upgrade it and to make it a little wider and make things better? I could say yes or no. That's what an honest person would say. But a politician would say, well, let me think about that a minute. See, my grandmother and grandfather drove across that bridge many times. And as I was growing up, I fished off that bridge and we had a good time. And, you know, there's a guy that owns some land over here, and I don't know if he would like us to extend that. And so let me get back to you on that. And I'll just beat around the bush. See, nobody wants a straightforward answer. Straightforwardness. If you say somebody's straightforward, what do you mean? They're honest. They tell you what they think, and they say it in a way that you can understand it. We don't want that when truth's been falling in the street. Nah, we'd rather have some polished politician talk around the issues than to have anybody just answer something simply. They do that to confuse people and make people say, oh, they're all crooks, to heck with it. I'm going to make a living and do my thing. What they do in government don't matter, and that's why we're in the shape we're in, is because the people of God have let the government go and we've done our own thing, and now we wake up 25, 30 years later and we're thinking, what in the world has happened here? Truth has fallen in the street. I want you to think about one thing there about truth falling in the street. I'll just read this. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath done what? Trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. See, we see there, Jesus Christ is truth. And he said, what about those who trodden underfoot? See, that's the thought. If you're going down the road and you see a piece of paper or something laying in the road that's not going to hurt your vehicle, people don't stop and pick it up. They just drive over it. Next guy comes by and they just keep driving and trodding it under, because why? They don't see any value in it. See, if you were going down the road, Jerry, and you saw a brand new steel chainsaw just sitting out in the middle of the road, you wouldn't say, just swerve around it or just run over it. No, we'd lock her down and say, well, man, I'll take that home. Nobody claims it. Or if there was a pile of money there, you wouldn't say, well, let's just run over it and scatter it up. No, you'd say, we're going to pick that up. Why? Because you think there's some value in it. But truth, you take the Word of God and Jesus Christ and His gospel and the moral and righteous teachings of the Bible, they're laying out here in the streets of America, and the sodomites are walking over them, the transgenders are walking over them, the illegal aliens are walking over them, all these protesters who are more than just protesters, but they're violence, are walking over them. Half of God's people who don't care about what's going on, they're just trodden underfoot the blood of the Son of God, going over truth. Truth is falling in the street. Truth is falling in the street. Now, let me say this in closing. I know it's a bleak picture. It seems like a painting. But it's not, because you need to realize one thing. Everything's happening right on time. Everything's in the hands of a sovereign God. So what do we do as God's people? 2 Timothy, I can't remember where it's at, but he says the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Go back to that word. What does that mean? We uphold truth. See, truth has fallen in the national life of Judah. It fell, and it's fallen in the national life of America. But we as God's people, and especially in God's church, we need to uphold it. I'm going to give an example using you, Elsie. If Elsie got out of her car and she parked out here by the sign and she got out and got stumbling, I know you don't do that, but say she did and poor old Elsie fell out in the road out there and was laid out, couldn't get up. And somebody come in and said, hey, Miss Elsie fell out in the road and, you know, I hear some traffic coming. This building would empty. Going out there to help Miss Elsie up because she's fallen. Well, I'm going to say, folks, as the people of God, truth is fallen and it's laying out there in the street. Why don't we get up and run to it and say, by the grace of God, we're going to keep upholding the Word of God in our homes and in our private life. By the grace of God, we're going to keep holding up truth. It's falling. It's laying out there. Get ready to get run over again, but we're going to keep holding up truth. That's what we've got to do in these last days, is stand for truth. Stand for what God's Word says. You know, the only way you can uphold truth is to do all you can do by the grace of God, to live by His Word and to practice His Word in your private life and in your home life and then collectively as a church. Truth is fallen. But we as God's people, we need to keep upholding truth. That's all we can do, folks. We can't change. It was a great day in my life when I learned that I couldn't change anybody. I used to think when the Lord first called me to preach, I'm going to change them. I'm going to change them all. Nah, I don't even want to change you. I want God to show you the truth. And the Bible says the truth will set us free. The only thing that will set America free today, totally free, of course, is when Jesus sits on the throne of David, his father, like Luke chapter 1, verse 31 through 33 says. But the only thing that's going to help us temporarily is to have truth exalted once again. I don't know if America is maybe too far gone as a whole past to get truth. People, what does it say in 2 Timothy? Paul told him, said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll turn their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. See, most Americans today would rather hear a fable to say everything's great in America, everything's good, everything's fine, don't worry about the borders, don't worry about the debt, don't worry about the military not getting to do, don't worry about the terrorists, everybody's great, we love everybody, everybody's happy, everything's good. Most Americans want to hear that, but it's not true. It's not true.